Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, October 30th edition of Buyers & Company. We are 1 week from Election Day. In this hour, Jim Root joins us. He's running for Macon County Sheriff. Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. And we'll give away Illini basketball tickets courtesy of J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. It starts now.
Buyers & Company. WSOY 1340 AM. 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Tuesday. I know that all of the national political stuff is driving everyone crazy, right? You got family members not speaking to each other. Have you ever had those stories, like, over the last year? Like, where, like, somebody will literally tell you, like, our daughters quit speaking to us?
Yeah, I've heard instances of
I mean,
that.
Honest to God, I've had conversations with people, like family members, just not talking to each other.
Isn't that crazy?
And you got, like, all the arguing on Facebook and social media. And then you got, like, a big chunk of people, I think, in the middle that just have their own political views, but they don't want to argue with people. They're probably not showing up in polling. I don't know what's going to happen next Tuesday. We'll see. But I tell you what will happen are these local races, which are highly important to your day-to-day life and probably have much more of a dramatic impact day-to-day on your existence than anything they do in Washington or Springfield. And, you know, we have the municipal elections, school board and you know, the city council, mayor in the spring. But the countywide elections, which are on the general election ballot this November, are going to decide who your treasurer is, who your clerk is, you know, who your sheriff is. And these are very, very important jobs. Jim Root joins us this morning in studios. He is running for Macon County Sheriff. And what is, I don't know, maybe the most visible of the local races. Would you agree with that?
That's probably safe to say that, yeah, the sheriff's race is getting a lot of people engaged in the political process.
And I think it's because you've got two people who've got a lot of years of experience that have worked together for a long time. I mean, I feel like the people feel like, you know, all too often in elections, you're voting for the lesser of two evils. I think this race is a little different than you feel like you got people who have both been there a long time.
Well, that goes to the character of the two people that are running.
Yeah.
You know, we're both we're friends outside of you know, the office. You know, we've, you know, kind of grew up together. We went to high school together. So, I mean,
well, law enforcement's a tight-knit community, right? It has to be, because you guys have to rely on each
other.
Yeah,
we have to rely on each other, and you know, it's I've got your back, you know. If even though that we might disagree today at the, you know, at the table or whatever, and we walk away from here, you know, when it comes to, you know, getting out on the street and making sure that you got somebody behind you or somebody there that's watching for you, that's our mentality, and that's the way that we want to make sure that we continue that.
All right, so you graduated from Eisenhower High School in 1986.
Yes, sir.
And went into the Marine Corps.
Yep.
Did you know that's what you wanted to do?
I actually decided that I was going to go in the Marine Corps probably about a year before I actually graduated.
Okay.
So that path was already set for me. As you know, I was encouraged to do that by a friend of mine who wanted to go in the Marines too.
All right. How long did you spend in the Marine Corps?
4 years.
4 years.
To the date.
To the actual date. So it's something you wanted to do, but when it was time to get out, it was time to get out.
Yep. There's people that were, you know, they were getting out early, and they just it was right before the you know, the Gulf War, so they wasn't letting anybody out early, so they let me out on the exact day that I was actually set to get out.
All right, so you spent time in Okinawa, Japan, and elsewhere, and then you came back, and what did you do? Did you know what you wanted to do when you got out of the Marines?
I got the idea that I was going to go into law enforcement when I was in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
I was assigned to a couple of camp guards detachments, which was, you know, associated with the military police on the base that I was guarding. And that was kind of that gave me my path as what it's something that I wanted to look and pursue. So when I got out, I started college and got through my degree and everything.
All right. So you spent a little bit of time as working security at the Clinton Nuclear Power Plant.
Yeah, I did that during my prior to going into college. And that's actually how I made a living for my family while I was in college.
Gotcha. Okay. And then so in 1996, you joined the Macon County Sheriff's Office.
Yep.
What did you start? Where did you start?
I started in the patrol division on
okay.
third shift. I, you know, for those 4 years that I was assigned to third shift patrol, I got several awards for Alliance's Motorists Against Intoxicated Motorists and, you know, for my DUI enforcement efforts. Got promoted to detective in 2000 by Roger Walker, got assigned to the Illinois State Police Drug Task Force. Went out to the task force, worked a couple of high-level cases out there, one of them which I got an award for from the task the Meg and Task Force Director's Award for a case that I worked that went federal. When the task force was disbanded, I got assigned to the Decatur Police Department Street Crimes Unit. I did that for another 4 years.
All right, so you've got a lot of street time.
Got a lot of street time.
I think that's important. This always causes controversy, but, I mean, would you agree that in law enforcement, I mean, there's police, and then there's kind of bureaucrats. I think that the men and women on the street always kind of look to have someone who's been on the street. I mean, understands what that part of the job is like.
You need to know what the men and women that are doing the things that you asking them to do. You need to know what they're doing so that, you know you've been there. There's a difference between reading in the book and, knowing about it from sitting in a desk and overlooking
and actually doing it.
Than actually doing it. Yeah. There's two different things there.
All right. So you then, after the Illinois State Police Drug Task Force, what was that like? Because that would have been back, like, what, in the late 90s, early
2000s? 2000 to 2006.
All right. What was the big thing there? I mean, what was the
crack
drug?
Cocaine crack was the big drug. Yeah. There was a lot of heroin was very, very small amounts that you would ever find, and you really didn't work very many cases of heroin. It was mostly crack cocaine, and then, during the early 2001, 2002 is when you started seeing the uptick of methamphetamine and the people that were coming to Decatur, to the Walmarts, to the Walgreens to buy their Sudafed for the purposes of making
meth.
Their meth.
Yeah.
And actually, Macon County was one of the leading edges of the methamphetamine efforts, because we were picking off these what we called smurfers, picking up pills and developing case law based on that because of our efforts in following them around to different stores and developing probable cause and taking them off for picking up pills and,
gotcha.
And batteries and stuff like that to make their meth.
All right. So then after that, you were promoted to sergeant in 2006, and then it was your job to supervise deputies in the patrol division.
Yep. Third shift, back to third shift patrol. I picked third shift patrol because, I'm a family man. I got four kids. So it was a little bit easier for me to see my children, when they got off the school bus and before I had to go to work. So even though I was sleeping during the day and that wasn't very conducive to.
Yeah, I got you. But that's what you wanted to do. All right. So after that, then you went into literally to the Emergency Management Agency and then you were in charge of sort of local disasters, weather, all of that.
Yep. That's promoted in 2009 by Sheriff Snyder, and I was assigned to that position. Kind of had just about a week of training for that position. He gave me the option before he put me in that position on whether I wanted that one or take one of the other lieutenant spot. And I'm up for a challenge, so I said, yeah, I'll take that spot because I think I can do a lot of good in that position.
All right, so let me ask you a couple questions about ALICE, which is the alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and evaluate, and then also some of the counterterrorism stuff. As we see the synagogue, massacre in Pittsburgh, we see these bombs being sent to people, in this highly charged political realm we live in. Violence happens no matter what. I mean, people focus on the political violence. In Chicago, 26 people shot Sunday. Nobody even, bothers to mention it. Are we ever prepared, as a community, as law enforcement agencies, to deal with, you can't stop it. I mean, you can only best respond to it. But you've been put in charge of putting a lot of these plans together.
Well, when it comes to the training, these are things that the average citizen can actually, do. These are life skills that they're going to actually learn. And that training right there is something that we want to make sure that we provide to churches, businesses, anybody.
We had the Decatur Police Department come through and do this with us, and it was incredibly insightful. I mean, even if you think you're fairly plugged in and intelligent, just the information they pass on to you about best sort of case scenario, what to do, is a different way of looking at it than most civilians think about.
Yeah, this is the response. This is how the individual should respond to an active shooter. These are the things that are going to best give you the tools to be able to survive something like this. A lot of people don't think like this. Kind of going back into the days where, the fire alarms get off, people would, didn't know what to do. When you start ingraining this into everybody's mentality that, these things happen. If you're going to be a victim, you're going to be a victim. But you can, if you have a little bit of knowledge on how you can prevent yourself from being a victim of this, then let's give you that information so that you can better prepare yourself.
Yeah, I would highly encourage, whether it's through the Macon County Sheriff's Office or it's through the Decatur Police Department, to do this as a company, as an organization, a school, church, whatever it might be. Because what was really interesting is the video they showed us is like, the different reactions that people have even to gunfire, the sound of gunfire. Some people go, what was that? Other people feel like an immediate sense of danger. I mean, it's all over the range.
Yeah, that's true, because last year we did the full-scale exercise at St. Mary's Hospital, and some of the employees had previously watched the run, hide, fight video.
Right.
And those were some of the people that still, when the role player came in and started shooting, they just stood there.
Yeah. Because you're not, what you guys do day in and day out is train to react to that.
Train to react and know your options and know your avenues of exit, you know, prior to even something breaking out and being under the stress.
Yeah. All right. So you decide you're going to run. When did you decide you were going to run for sheriff?
Probably 2016, towards the end of 2016, I started getting...
All right, walk me through that thought process. I mean, what were you thinking about?
Well, there's a lot of people within the department that, you know, they wanted me to run. So, that, you know, there's that, you know, encouragement. Yeah, I think you need to throw your hat in the ring. You know, we've got, you know, you're a leader in this department. We want your, you know, professionalism and the things that you bring to the table. So there was quite a few people that, you know, came to me and said, you know, nudged me a little bit. And then in order for me to make that decision, I needed to have the right people in my campaign to be able to do that. So I started asking around and getting people on board with it. So we were doing our planning. I like to do a lot of pre-thought and make sure everything's in place and make sure things are lined out in order to get this done. So what happened was, the safety tax came up. So that kind of took a side and we wasn't prepared, so we kind of stepped back a little bit, and then we really kicked off our campaign in early 2017.
All right, now you knew that it was going to be a crowded field up front because there were a couple of other people that were interested. How did you factor that into your thinking? I mean, because it is, as you said, there's an ecosystem, you know, within an office like the Macon County Sheriff's Office. And when you get a couple, two, three guys that are 20-plus year, you know, veterans, that could cause a lot of sort of, you guys have been incredibly adult about all of this, but it's still personal, right? I mean, you're running against each other. I mean, it could cause a lot of imbalance in the office. So how did you factor all of that into your thinking?
Well, a lot of that has to do with the people that were encouraging me. People that are working, you know, day in day and at the sheriff's office, and you know they know the other two candidates too. So, I mean, the key to it is make sure that you are not running a negative campaign, making sure that you're being cordial. Now, there's a few times within the office that, you know, that doesn't always do it, but don't wear that on your sleeve. I mean, put that aside and just move on. We've got a mission at the sheriff's department. And when you're at the sheriff's department, you should be fulfilling that mission. Now, whether or not we disagree or whatever on something, that's different.
All right, so tell me about what you disagree with your opponent. Because most people just sort of see this as two guys who are both qualified running for office. I hear this all the time. Well, you know, we're going to be okay no matter what happens. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that. I'm sure you probably disagree. I'm sure Tony disagrees about what the outcome would be. But what separates you from your opponent? What makes you different?
Well, one thing is my budget experience. I've actually managed my own budget. Now, he says that he's supervised my budget. He's never been given my budget. He's never gave input on my budget. And if he's actually looked at my budget, he saw it in the budget book or got it from the auditor's office, but he's never provided any input. I've managed to keep my budget within the parameters set by the county board. There's leadership skills that I have that I don't, you know, that I got from the Marine Corps, and I apply those every day. Making sure that the men and women within the sheriff's department that actually go out there and do the job are the ones that are getting credit for it. You know, I'm a person that I don't want credit for anything, but don't take credit for my work unless you've previously asked me to take credit for it. But if you, as a person, have something to bring to the table, I want you sitting there, because if you have buy-in, you're going to put your effort into whatever it is that we're doing, and that makes for a better outcome when it comes to the actual things that we're trying to – the mission we're actually trying to accomplish.
Okay. I've heard in some of your radio ads where you bring up the Second Amendment. Is this something that the sheriff has is weighing in on? Is there a difference between the two of you on this issue?
When it comes to a few things, I can't speak to his, you know, what his views are. I mean, I've listened to, you know, him on a couple of different things, flip-flop both one way or the other. My stance is firm. I believe in the Constitution. Now, if you have a right to bear arms and your right has not been taken away by due process, then you should I should encourage you to do that right. And you as an average citizen should have the ability to protect yourself in your own home and when you're out in public that is, you know, not within a restricted area. And I I truly believe that everybody should protect themselves. We cannot, as law enforcement, cannot be there all the time.
All right. So you also mentioned Chicago. And what was the purpose behind that in those ads?
Well, when you're talking about the Chicago money coming down from, you know, the Pritzker campaign and from Chicago, those things are influence our local elections. That money is being filtered in through the Democratic Party, and what is their stake in our community other than the fact that it's a partisan issue? And you know, if you want to, what's it going to cost? What is being promised as a result of them that money coming down? I can tell you that I've not promised anybody anything. The first day of my campaign, I sat at the table with several lieutenants, sergeants, deputies, and correctional officers that are on my campaign, and I specifically told them, if you're here because you want something, you need to leave now. I'm not going to make promises to you. Only thing I can promise you is that I'm going to be the best sheriff that this department, and I'm going to put all my effort into making sure that this department runs the way it should run.
Okay, so the Chicago reference is about the money that comes in. I'm with you. I remember when it was a big deal the first time, you know, outside money came into local campaigns like this. I think it was Bob Flyter. I mean, it goes back that far. It's sort of now just the way the system works. So you've raised all your money locally. You haven't had any support from partisan groups outside of the...
I've had, I believe I have only had one donation from a local union.
Yeah.
All of mine's been local money, individuals, and then maybe about 8 businesses.
Okay. Have you found that part of the job? I mean, most people, I don't think of sheriffs as necessarily being political, right? And I do believe that people vote not because of a D or an R. They vote because they like the person or they respect the person. I just think it's not a partisan office to most folks. Okay. Have you found the raising of money to sort of be distasteful?
Well, the raising of money was my hardest part. Yeah. And I can say that because I don't like to ask people for things.
I get so, it. I mean, that's somewhat universal across the board.
It's universal probably for a lot of people, but there's a lot of people that will go out there and say, hey, give me some money.
Yeah.
But that was just not something that I was comfortable with. Now I got past that because I knew I needed to win this race. So, you know, I did, you know, go out and ask a few people for some money. It was awkward, but all of my support just kind of came to me and said, hey, I want to donate to your campaign. And, you know, there's people that I don't know that actually have been donating.
Yeah. All right. So how about the public part of this role, right? I mean, you've been kind of on the streets in the patrol division, in drug enforcement, you've been managing people. The public, I guess through your EMA role, you've dealt with the media and a lot of folks like that. But, I mean, a lot of what the sheriff does is not political, but it's not necessarily law enforcement. There's a lot of public relations. Is that something you're comfortable with?
I'm fairly comfortable with it. See, in emergency management, I have partnerships with a lot of community organizations, and we build those partnerships. And we need to make sure that those partnerships in place prior to any disaster. So there's a lot of those partnerships that I already have. And the people that I've dealt with are probably going to give you feedback that, you know, I'm definitely there for the mission that we're trying to solve at the time that we're, you know, what we're wanting to get done. What is our mission as part
Absolutely.
Of this?
All right. So what do you think about the sheriff's office? I asked your opponent this last week. I'll ask you. Does the general public have any idea just how much Sheriff Buffett has done for this community in trying to get this office set up for the future?
He's done a lot of great things for this department. He's brought in some resources that we wouldn't have had available to us when it comes to, you know, consultants being able to look at things and saying, hey, this here needs to be addressed because this could limit your liability.
Yeah.
In addition to some of the infrastructure stuff, so the scanners in the jails, which could prevent people from bringing in guns and drugs and stuff like that into our facility, which protects our inmates, actually. And, you know, people don't think of that, but that's something that we have to provide is somewhat of a protection for our inmates.
Sure.
You know, and the personal patrol vehicle program for every officer to have the ability or every deputy to have the ability to have a vehicle that they're responsible for. And that puts back responsibility into the individuals instead of a pooled vehicle where the, you know, guy eats in there and gets, you know,
everybody blames
food
everybody.
And everybody complains
yeah.
or... You know, those are things that it's going to build a lot of morale back into our department because that gives back the ability for those people to actually have buy-in and what they're doing.
All right, Jim, hang tight. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap things up. Jim Root, running for Macon County Sheriff's, he's in studio. Here's Lindsay Romano with your 3-day forecast.
We do have a slight chance we could see some showers this morning. Highs around 73. Tonight, still a chance of showers with lows around 52. Wednesday, showers likely. Mainly before 7 a.m., cloudy and highs near 57. Thursday, cloudy highs near 54. It is 53 degrees in downtown Decatur.
On November 6th, voters have two choices to consider for sheriff. I will be voting for Jim Root and encourage you to do the same. Jim Root will be responsible with tax dollars and tough on crime. Jim Root is the candidate with values who defends the Constitution. This race is about leadership, integrity, and accountability, and Jim Root is the candidate we can trust. If you don't want Macon County to turn into Cook County, join me in voting Jim Root for Macon County Sheriff on November 6th.
Paid for by Jim Root for Sheriff Committee.
Ed Yoder asks for your vote as Macon County Treasurer. Ed Yoder is a Marine Corps veteran, local business owner, and has 35 years of local political experience. He is a self-funded candidate, so he only works for you. Since first elected as Treasurer, Yoder has modernized the Treasurer's office, operated under budget, cut delinquent property taxes in half, and dramatically raised interest income on investments. That saves you money. Ed Yoder works efficiently and dependable for you. Please vote for Ed Yoder for Macon County Treasurer. Visit edyodertreasurer.com.
Paid for by Ed Yoder.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt and Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-2226.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Jim Root is in studios. He wants your vote next Tuesday, where I guess earlier Grace voting. He's running for Macon County Sheriff. And what happens on election night, you know, when the results are in and whomever wins, wins, what do you guys both do? Well, I mean, let's assume you're the new sheriff.
Well, first of all, you know, after this election, we're going to have to mend whatever broken fences that is as a result. But, you know, you've had two sides within the department, you know, that one is being the people that were supporting me and the other would be the people that were supporting my opponent. We need to make sure that those fences are bent, are mended.
Yeah, that's the first thing you got
to
do.
That's the first thing you need to do is make sure that, you know, that you know, we're going to move, push forward, we're going to push past this and make sure that, you know, everybody has a stake in the department and everybody's fulfilling the mission that's required.
All right, so we got about a minute and a half here. If you're sheriff, what do you do to better repair relations with law enforcement and the general community? I think it's better here than it is a lot of places in the United States, but there's still this divide.
Well, there's a divide, and you need to go to these events. If you know, if somebody wants you at these events and they want you to have buy-in there and show up, you know, the take back the night, you know, the national night out. You need to be at those events and, you know, talk to those people. If they say, hey, we would like for you to come talk to our organization, go. Yeah. There's nothing bad gonna come from that.
All right. What about the opioid thing? And I know this is, we only got about 45 seconds, but I mean, we've got a problem with people who have never been criminals becoming criminals because of this drug addiction.
Well, you got to have multiple prong approach. You got to have the enforcement taking the drugs off the street. You've got to have the recovery, the treatment. You've got to have the recovery, and you've got to have that follow up care with the new facilities that the Buffett Foundation is building over there, so that the people that actually have completed the programs have the ability to sustain life and start getting a job and being productive citizens.
All right, JimRootForSheriff.com is your website. If people want to volunteer, give, support your campaign at all, that's where they can start.
They can send me an email through there, and I'm real good about getting back with them, or they can reach me on Facebook.
Best of luck to you next Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
Jim Root for Macon County Sheriff. Here's Jeff Daly with your news. We'll be back with more. Mark Tupper, straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.
WSOY News Time is 7:29. I'm Jeff Daly in the newsroom. Macon County Sheriff's Office is reporting that at 6:11 last evening, deputies responded to Green Switch Road near the intersection of Hickory Point Road in reference to a single vehicle accident. The preliminary investigation indicates that one vehicle had been involved in the crash. The driver, a 38-year-old Oriana man, was ejected from the vehicle. He was transported to Decatur Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. There were no other occupants in the vehicle, and the cause of the crash is under investigation by the Fatal Accident Investigation Team. The name of the victim has not been released at this time. Well, monsters, superheroes, witches, ghosts all take to the streets tomorrow, and local agencies are handing out safety tips. We'll have that for you after Fox News covers the world on News Talk 1340, WSOY AM, 103.3 FM, and streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says he wants to end automatic citizenship for babies born in the United States, telling the show Axios on HBO.
You can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order.
There'd be legal challenges to that. Babies born here have been granted citizenship under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. It nullified a Supreme Court decision that children of slaves could not be citizens. The president on Twitter has been endorsing a bunch of Republican congressional candidates. He's got a packed campaign schedule leading up to the elections a week from today.
Fort Myers, Florida on Halloween. Columbia, Missouri on Thursday. Then Friday in both Huntington, West Virginia and Indianapolis, Indiana. Saturday in Bozeman, Montana and Pensacola, Florida. Sunday in Macon, Georgia and Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Monday, a triple. Cleveland, Ohio, Fort Wayne, Indiana and Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Fox's Todd Pyro. This is Fox News.
WSOY News Time is 7:31. Halloween is a fun time for everyone, and everyone wants to make sure everyone stays safe while enjoying it, according to Maria Henneberry, American Red Cross Regional Communication Director for Central and Southern Illinois. Red Cross has a few suggestions for trick-or-treaters. Make sure those kids can be seen by using face makeup instead of masks and giving kids flashlights to guide their way. Also by adding reflective tape to costumes and treat bags, and consider having everyone wear light-colored costumes. Only visit homes with the porch lights on and walk. Don't run. As you're trick-or-treating throughout the neighborhoods. Also, stay on the sidewalks, not in the streets, and if no sidewalk is available, walk at the edge of the roadway facing traffic. You can find a full list of tips for Halloween safety at NowDecatur.com. In sports, in the NFL, in Monday Night Football last night, it was the Patriots over the Buffalo Bills 25-6. In the NBA, the Golden State Warriors beat the Chicago Bulls 149-124. Your next news is coming your way at the top of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media, media made locally.
The Symphony Orchestra Guild of Decatur presents the 2018 holiday event titled Sleigh Bells Ring. Come and listen. Enjoy an elegant dinner, fine wines, live auction, music, and dancing. The Symphony Holiday Gala will be hosted at the Country Club of Decatur on Friday, November 30th, starting at 6 p.m. Proceeds support the Milliken Decatur Symphony Orchestra and music education programs. For reservations, call 423-3189 or stop by the Decatur Area Arts Council. Sponsors include WAND-TV, Herald and Review, and Neuhoff Media.
At the Community Foundation of Macon County, we make it easy to be a philanthropist. Hi, this is Natalie Beck, President of the Community Foundation of Macon County. It's that time of the year when you think about year-end giving. Soon the organizations you care about and have supported in the past will be sending their annual appeals for donations, and you will be deciding how to use your budget for charity before the year is over. At the Community Foundation, we know that philanthropy requires thought and planning. We're here to simplify your gift giving. We have all the tools to make it easy for everyone to be charitable. We can help you find a nonprofit that shares your vision, and we exist to serve you and the community you love, anchoring, investing, and collaborating to improve quality of life. If you are considering a gift to a charity or want to set up a fund for future giving, call today at 429-3000. The Community Foundation of Macon County. We're here to connect those who give with those in need, for good, forever.
Beautify your home with new doors and windows from Marvin. Get style along with functionality from Ultimate Clad Casement Windows that turn inside out for easy cleaning. Custom sizes are available for almost any door or window in your home with many colors to choose from.
A plumber and home specialties. Who says you can't have it all?
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
We got a slight chance of seeing some showers this morning. Highs around 73 degrees today. Then tonight, chance of showers, thunderstorms, lows around 52 for your Wednesday. Showers are likely, 60% likely, with highs around 57 degrees. Thursday, cloudy and highs near 54. It is 53 degrees in downtown Decatur.